Sunday. Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Ray Guarino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Even!
Hey, you over there, the guy in the tryptophan bus. Yeah, you know who you are. The guy who's tuned to the Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show, found right here on this glorious sunny island. Today you've tuned in to hear your hosts Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer talk about anything car-related, and we'll deviate from that if we're prompted. Don't, just trust me on that. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Good morning, Ray. I'm going to need a nap after this show. That's the only thing I could figure. The tryptophan and the turkey, the way we've been eating turkey in the last 3 days has been out of hand. Turkey sloppy Joe sandwiches, turkey fricassee, turkey a la mode. We're just rocking and rolling with all kinds of turkey side dishes. It's just been a mess. How about you? The table cleared off yet or what?
Yeah. Everything was quick and done. And we had some fun Thanksgiving. We had some, family time as usual, which is always
right.
Good.
So there was yelling involved.
There was some, almost some fires from
the, right. Right. There was a, right. You found where the fire extinguisher was, right?
Yeah, we were able to quell that stuff real easy. And like we said before the show, we have yet to have turkey leftovers with, you know what? We got so much other stuff.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It's nice as the kids get older and they start to cook and make their own stuff and bring it. Like now you get leftovers from them too. So,
Ooh, good.
Yeah, all sorts of cool stuff, you know?
So that's anyway. Nice. You mean the kids bring over food?
Yeah.
Holy smokes. That's wonderful.
We'll say.
Yeah. No, I don't know about that. My kid can't find. She can't find where the kitchen is yet. So
not yet, but in time. I said the same thing, but
she can't reach the refrigerator door.
Right. That could be a problem. So if you have a story about your refrigerator door, maybe the latch broke and you need to know how to fix it, give us a call at 516-256-9510 and we'll be happy to help you out. Also, follow us on social media. You know, we're Motormouth Radio on our website, on Twitter, and on Facebook. And on Instagram, we deviate a little because we become real _ Motormouth Radio. Mm-hmm. And you'll see the pictures and things of the stuff we get. I put a few posts up this week of stuff that was going on. I was down at both of the shops yesterday, and I got to see the Mustang is back in circulation again.
The Mustang. Tell us a little bit about that.
The Mach 1 that Mike had bought a while ago.
What year was this?
It's a 69, or is it a 70?
Oh, okay. Okay.
It's one of those two. I don't know how you tell the difference. It's, Mustang guys would know how to tell between a 69 and
a 70. There is a difference. I can give you a quick tour right now, but there is a difference.
What is it?
Well, if you quick look at the front of the car, you would notice that the headlights on the 69s are more outboard.
Right.
On the 70s, they're tucked into the grill. They're wrapped around the grill cavity. It was a nice design sleight of hand by Ford because all they did was they changed the headlight bezels.
Yeah.
The headlight bezel has been rearranged. So the rest of the nose, the fenders, and the hood mostly are intact. And in the back, there's a taillight difference. I think the 69s, the taillights are sunk in. The 70s, they kind of stick out a little thicker.
Then I'll say it's a 70.
Okay. And Ford was kind of cool with their sleight of hand design cha-chas. Right? That car was actually helped to be designed. The car was co-designed by Larry Shinoda That's why I kind of like those. I'm a big fan of Larry Shinoda, his design work.
Big hit in 1979, too. Boy, the guy really hit one out of the park with that one, yeah.
What, the Fox Body? The first Fox Body Mustangs?
Shinoda. So I always think that.
Right. Our internet know-it-all has put up on the screen a 69 Mustang.
Jerry Heasley, a very, very...
And there's the 70.
Okay.
Right, the 70 is right under it. Yes. Thank you, Internet Know-It-All. That's right. Good shots of those cars.
69, the lights were out at the end. Okay.
Yeah, so I said they're upward.
Okay. Then
70,
you know
they were inboard.
It's a 69.
Oh, okay.
Because I just checked. I looked at the picture. Okay. But anyway, that's kind of the last project car that's going to go through, one of the last project cars to go through the shop. And maybe one of the last ones for Mike to have, because he said, you know, he's got enough. He's got a lot of cars.
Really? I never hear from selling them. I always hear from acquiring them, but I never hear of them going.
You know, we got a note from the UD that Dougie was saying the 69 has four headlights and the 70 has two.
That is true. That is absolutely true. He's right about that. Dougie's correct.
So the and to guy, there's the taillight difference. Okay,
right, right.
The top one,
yes. The top one is 69. They're three individual lights. The 70, it's one contained in one bezel.
So if what you're telling me is correct, this car has a 69 rear panel and a 70 front.
Oh, good God! Really?
Headlights are outboard on the 70 and
right.
And the top taillights. Look at the post. Look at the post on social media. You'll
all
see.
Right.
Because the post was of the rear lights. What I'd seen was Steve, and we mentioned Steve last week when we were talking about Dum Dum, and he called me out on that. He goes, "Hey, I heard you talking about." There you go. That is the car right there, Chris. You can see that.
Okay. Yeah, those are 69 lights in the back of that. Yeah.
But you'll see the front of the car.
Right. The front has got, well, I can't tell the headlight bezel isn't in that shot. It's a shot of the car. It's a nice car. Everything, all the panels look straight.
So anyway, it's out of paint now. It's going to have its two-tone done, and right. That hasn't been done yet. But I guess, you know, the hood, the stripes, the hood and deck stripe. And I was just thinking about that car about a week ago because I knew it was going through the shop, but it kind of got stalled in the process. And now when I went down there, I saw it right in the middle of the floor, so it was being worked on. And I know it's going to come back over to the other shop for some, you know, for me to lay some hands on it. So
just to kick this can down the road a little bit, how is he doing the stripes on the car? Is he painting them or is he going to decal them?
Oh, I'm sure they'll be painted, yeah.
They'll be painted. Okay. Okay, because you can get the decal set for that car.
I think it's a flat black.
Right, right. And it's usually, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's three stripes. One solid, large one in the center, and there's two on either side that are smaller. That run up to the base of the windshield.
But this was yet another one of those cars that if it was mine or probably yours, we would have passed on it. And, you know, Mike bought it. It needed, you know, when you got under. I mean, I posted pictures a couple of years ago when I had this thing up on the lift. A lot of hard rust underneath. Torque boxes gone.
Oh.
I mean, normal stuff for a Mustang, but.
Yeah.
Still, I mean, not stuff you're going to do at home, really.
And any Mustang aficionado will tell you if the rust creeps into the torque box, which is the main support in the back of the car, from what I remember.
Also, in the these are in the front, right by the bottom of the.
Well, yes. The A-frame, yeah, as well. Yeah. If they go, it's
they did
lost the structural rigidity of the vehicle, and now you got cornflakes, basically.
All the doors didn't close. Every time I reached up under the dash, stuff fell down. But anyway, not only that, you know, following the deconstruction of the car, Steve did the majority of the work on that car.
Right.
And he took, you know, pieces apart to replace them. But then when you get to look into the areas that you couldn't see previously, those pieces were bad. So more stuff had to be cut out.
And sure.
So that's why it just so happened, the thing that struck me odd yesterday was there's this beautifully painted car sitting on the floor there, and there were these, just the two rear light panels that are all rusted and crumbly just sitting on the floor. And I said, well, you know, why are they here? The car is done. The panel is new, and he was putting in the rear lights.
Right.
And he said to me, he goes, because you never throw out the old parts until the car is done. Now, I know because I've done that.
Yes.
And I said, okay, well, what's the case in point here? And he showed me that on those original panels, there's in the Harley Davidson world, we call it a T bolt. It's a threaded bolt with a really, it doesn't really have a hex head on it. It's just a flat head that's attached to a piece of metal, and that slides into a slot that's shaped like a T. Slides in, and those are the bolts that actually hold the taillights in. And he said on the new panels, you don't get those.
Oh, no way.
So, if you threw out all the old ones, you can't, and maybe you can't salvage the old ones because they're toast, but in this case, he was able to salvage them. If he couldn't, now what do you do? Now it's like nuts and bolts, and that's when the restoration starts getting a little cheesy.
Yes. So, and also time, because if you yank those bolts and they're so unique, if you have to fabricate something out of standard Home Depot hardware, you're taking time at this point, time you don't have.
Oh, sure.
The time you can invest on other things to remedy the situation. Time you have by taking a ball peen and hitting you in the forehead with it because you threw out the old part. But you know what? We've all learned this. How many times have you done that? How many times have you thrown out something and went, I've done it about 2 months ago, 3 months ago.
Really?
During the summer. Yeah. During the summer, I got to tell you a quick story. I was pulling stuff out of the Chrysler, out of the 300, and I found this black, thin plastic that had no business being in this car at all. It was kind of concave, was half like a spoon, like it was a spoon cut in half, and it was a black, it looked like cheap, had like a cheap grain to it, like a leather grain, but it was this, and it was bendable. It didn't belong. It had no reason being in the car. And I'm like, what is this thing? And I moved it around and I couldn't figure it out, and I finally threw it away. Therefore, thinking it did not belong to the car whatsoever. When I ordered the rear seat from North Carolina, had the rear seat shipped up, I flipped it over, the back of the rear seat. What do you think was there behind that covered the rear speaker? That piece of plastic. I was like, I don't believe this. I threw this away.
Yeah.
Now, thankfully, I got another one, and that's how I realized it. That's when I put two and two together, because I get the rear seat, I flip it over, and I'm like, holy moly, that's the piece that I threw away.
Yeah.
It covered the back speaker, because the back speaker sits between the two rear seats.
Gotcha.
It's that the chrome bezel that sits there. Well, this thing kind of, I guess its purpose was to deflect the sound from the speaker back into the interior of the car.
Yeah.
But I was like, holy who would have known?
Yeah.
Who would have known? And
well,
I picked up the ball peen. Get ready to hit myself in the head.
Even I was talking about that yesterday. Like, he's trying to clean up and throw out parts. I said, yeah, I try too. But I said, you know, as soon as you get rid of it, you're going to need it.
Oh, totally.
You know, but then again, I'll freely admit that when I save stuff and then I can't find it. I mean, I learned a lesson from you. Just, look for something else.
Yes, look for something.
Mm-hmm. I was, case in point, okay, I'll tie two stories into one.
Oh, good.
I know the guys at Automoblog got a kick out of this, of what car guys do on Thanksgiving. What did I do? I went down to the shop around midday. Because, the girls were cooking, and, I'm not a parade watcher. So I figured, let me go do something. It was a nice sunny day. It was rainy in the morning, but then it was sunny. So I said,
yeah. We had some good weather, this weekend, yeah.
I had to take the wheels off of the FJ. There you go.
Oh, boy. Holy moly, it looks like it's suspended in midair.
Right, it is. And
our internet know-it-all has just posted a picture on social media.
Internet know-it-all will be happy to see that on Mike's Mustang, the license plate is obscured, so no one can read his plate number. So there you go. So we kept him happy, too.
Yes.
So anyway, I had to set the truck up and get it on jack stands, which, now you're on your knees and you're rolling around. That's, your back, and my back, I should say. So
yes, I'm impressed. I like the way that thing is in the air. Nice.
Yeah, well, it sits high anyway. So to get it up so the wheel's clear, it's got to be even higher.
Yeah, sure.
Now I've been working in it like that. I had the interior out yesterday.
Oh my gosh. So sitting right there in
right there.
So people walking by are looking at you going, look at this maniac.
Someone did walk by. But Thanksgiving Day, I'm out there with the breaker bar and then the gun, and I realize, like, okay, I have the shop door open, but the shop's obviously closed. The only thing going on is 7-Eleven. There's people coming, you know, guy bags of ice and cases of beer. Bags of ice, cases of beer. And I realize, like,
that's our listenership, basically.
I know. I could be stealing the wheels off this truck. Like, who's stopping? Now, our good friend, yeah, we have our good friend Frank, Poobah Frank, who works in the area in law enforcement. And he rolls by, so he keeps an eye on the place, but he was probably off. And
They're never off duty. Never.
But I'm saying, like, man, this is like the perfect ruse. Do it in the broad daylight on Thanksgiving Day, right?
Yes.
About 2 a.m. It was 12 a.m. So anyway, one fella did come by, a guy maybe in his 60s, had some earbuds. He looked like he was doing some walking, jogging, whatever, and he just caught my eye, and he says, don't tell me they make you work on Thanksgiving. I said, no. I said, I'm working on my own car. I said, I'm just kind of doing my own stuff. Then I'm going to go home. I said, the family's home cooking. I'll be, you know, taken care of. So he's like, oh, good, good, good. But anyway, get the truck off, get the lugs off, and I gave the first wheel a palm to break it loose.
Yeah.
It was solid. I'm solid. So we had that happen.
Did you do the foot maneuver? You sit down in front of the wheel, you pick your feet up, and you start smacking the wheel on either side with the bottom of your shoe, right?
Oh yeah. Then, of course, I went to each subsequent wheel, and each one was solid.
Oh wow!
Well, I'm saying, okay, yeah,
it was the aluminum wheel we're talking about.
That aluminum wheel. So of course, Mike Jr. said to me, he asked me, "Did you take all the lug nuts off?" Because if you remember,
harking back to a certain story,
to his dead van, and it was a 6-lug or an 8-lug van, and I left one of the lug, it was smacking it with hammers. I said yes, and I counted them. I had 24 lug nuts. Damn it,
you will never live that down, my son.
I won't. Hey, rightfully so, you know. So anyway, I said, oh my word, you know, I took a 2x4 and my dead blow hammer, and I was hitting the rim and the tire interface. Nothing. So I got in there with some penetrant, and I sprayed it between the wheel and rotor interface.
Which of course is a desperate measure, because penetrant doesn't work.
Yeah. Well, I sprayed it into all the lug holes, and then I said, okay, you know, I think I got busy doing other stuff. I was putting things away. I don't remember what I was doing, something else. Killed about 15-20 minutes.
Right.
And I said, okay, well, that's going to be it for the day. I'm going to have Mike help me. I got to get some young muscle in here to help me out, because obviously, you know, I'm going to kill myself. So one last ditch, I came out with my big rubber
Oh, okay.
Whew. And I just...
I thought you were going somewhere else.
I took a swing at that rim, and I thought I felt it, like, shift a little. Right. I was like, huh? So I whacked it on the other side, and then I did see it move. And wouldn't you know, that wheel came off. So I said, aha. So I went to each subsequent wheel, and they all came off after doing that. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, very good. Then I looked, I said, okay, this guy wasn't one to rotate his tires. He was the biggest slob Slabinski in the world, this guy.
You are so twisted. I'm sure you were grumbling after last week's show that you can hear on motormouthradio.com, mind you, about Ray's mess that he had to clean up in the inside of this Toyota. Yes, yeah. I'm sorry.
Well, that was yesterday's job, by the way. So anyway, what did I do?
So did you get the wheels off?
I got all the wheels off, and then I looked. The tires had been date coded 2016. They were probably never rotated since 2016.
Sure.
So now I'm getting a rim job. And happy me, because now, as you saw,
Wait a minute. My glasses just fogged up. Wait a minute.
Clear those off, are you?
Happy you indeed.
Did he just say what I thought he did? And the reason I did all this was because, as you saw, I had bought new tires. I bought new Goodyear
ATF.
Yes.
Tires.
Yes. Nice looking rubber you got there, Bunky.
Now
yes.
What's happening is those rims are going to go off to a place and they're going to blast all, because the aluminum is, you have to expand the pictures to see it, but the aluminum is all flaking off. They're going to blast them down to base metal and powder coat them.
Wow.
And this is where my tie-in story comes in, because I was trying to decide on a color for the powder coat. I knew I wanted to go black.
Yeah, I would say the obvious choice here would be black. Silver may not be bad, but I would think black would probably be nicer.
But black ain't black. There's a lot of variance in black.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, from flat to gloss and everything, right?
Yeah.
What I did was, there's a center cap on that wheel that I took off and I brought home with me, and I have some Duplicolor spray. It's wrap. It's Duplicolor wrap paint. You can, you know, wrap a vehicle in it, peel it off next year, and redo it.
Okay. Okay.
That hasn't been posted yet. I will post that, though. And I did the center caps in that color. Brought them with me yesterday. We checked it against a 2019 Ram wheel. It's almost the exact semi-gloss. They call it carbon black color.
Ooh, okay.
And that's the color that I'm going to have those wheels powder coated in.
So is this, okay, here's the dumbest question of the day. Is it blacker than black, or is it not as black as black?
It's not as black, you would say, as a gloss black, because it's called carbon black, which is like more like semi-gloss black.
It's like a satin.
Right. Not flat and not gloss. It's in the middle. It comes in pretty nice, so it really isn't reflective.
You know, because being a slick and exotic graphic guy that I am, you have two different colors of black. You have black and you have something called true black. And that's why I'm asking. There's like black with a regular black sometimes has like a very, 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 very slight hint of gray in it. True black does not.
Like and if you put them
right. So if you put the two together, you can really, it's tough to tell when they're apart, but if you put them side by side, you can see the difference. That's why I was asking, was there different grades of black? But you're talking about the finishes of the black.
Yeah, that's why I said black isn't black, because it's, you know,
well,
like
my baby
white,
back.
Even like white.
Los Bravos. Black even is like, black.
Yeah.
Well, my baby back. Yeah, I'm
even
sorry.
Like, even like white isn't white. You know, my wife's car is white, and it's a pretty bright white until you see snow on it. And when you
see
the snow, that freaking car looks almost yellow.
Yes, like, exactly.
So there you go. So there's so many different variants. So anyway.
So the ink is black, the page is white. Together we learn to read and write. I got it.
Right. Exactly. That's it. Today on the music interpretation show. So that's what's going on there. So what I did was, here's the tie-in.
Yeah.
I was trying to get there quicker, but...
Oh, you!
I was trying. I wanted to paint those center caps. So I said, you know, I know that what I saved at one point from an old microwave oven was that the glass dish that goes in the microwave, and there's like a ring with wheels on it underneath, rollers.
Yes.
And I said, I could put this on this at a later date and spin it when I paint stuff. So I could just spin it instead of turning the part or walking around a part. Spin it.
Okay.
I go to the garage.
Yeah.
I know where this is. Well, I found the glass plate. I had it stuck between some cardboard in a safe place. Couldn't find the ring. I'm like, okay, stop. Step back. Just look, because it's here. Just look.
It's here. We don't know. Right.
Go to another part of the garage. That's it. Go to another part of the garage. Can't find it. I said, maybe I left it in the bead blaster to use it out there. I run out, open. Nope, it's not in there. Come back to the garage to where I still think it was.
Right.
Couldn't find it.
Nope.
So I haven't found it. When I'm looking for that 10 millimeter socket that I dropped, you know I'm going to find.
Of course. Look for something else.
Exactly.
You can't find it because you know that thing is in a safe place.
Right.
You know, it's in a safe place. It's just not in your purview at this moment.
Exactly.
Look for something else.
Exactly.
You will eventually find it.
So I did put these things on cardboard, and I just walked around them. And this stuff requires like 4 or 5 coats. Actually, the more the better, because then it becomes easier to remove it later on.
Okay.
It does build. That was kind of fun. That was good, because now you get to test the your theory of... You know, I actually had a sample I could hold up. I held it up to the truck. I held it up to other things and said, okay, how does this look? You know.
Right. So now, okay, here's the big question. You've gotten your your rim is now handled. You're taking care of your rim. You're going to powder coat it.
Right.
You're taking care of your center caps. Center caps have been taken care of. We did not cover your nuts.
No. I had
Please
a, I had
explain, my... and I can only say this to you with a big smile on my face, but please explain what you plan on doing with your nuts.
Well, I had...
Thank you very much. I know where the door is. I'll be leaving now.
I had all of my nuts...
It's been a good career. I'm sorry. Yes.
I did have all of my nuts in my hands yesterday, in fact, because I had to move them. I had to move them from one place to the other, so... You can't do that unless you have them in your hand. So my first thought was...
Thank God there's no picture of this.
Chris, I can only say this... I would only say this to you. They're looking a little grungy. They are. They're a little shkuva. They're a little like... It's like a little...
little shming.
Yeah, they're a little... Not as bad as the console was, but they're a little... Shungad.
Yeah, you could... Did you... Now, here's the big question.
Go on.
I can't believe I'm reliving this. Okay. Do you have your brush to brush... to brush your nuts.
I said no.
My thought was to just use, like, I think with a buffing, I could use some,
you know, the buffer.
The what is it? I always forget what it's called. The stuff I have in the garage. It's in the blue can. It's like compound impregnated cloth. You know,
right?
You pull. It's like cotton candy. You pull a piece off and you.
Oh, it's yeah. Oh, yeah. What is that called?
I forget the name of it. But, you know, anyway, that would clean them up very nicely. But there's 24 of them. You know, there's a lot of these. There's six per wheel. So then I was looking, and they actually sit recessed into that wheel and into the, like, you only see the.
Yeah. I used to call this a bum wad, and I can't remember what it was. There's a can literally, like, 7 feet from where I'm sitting right now. But, yes.
So that'll work nicely. I would
never dull. Never dull.
Never dull. Thank you.
There you go. Yes.
Thank you. Yeah, Johnny got it too. Thanks, John.
Yeah.
But I think maybe I will. I'll go down to the shop. What I have to do is get like a lug nut that has the same. Paul's a little late, but he got it anyway. Yeah. I want to get like a stud that I can maybe thread it on.
Yes.
And I'm thinking like, you know, automate the process, but we'll see.
Even if you do put it on some sort of stud, something you can hold on to, you can put it on your buffing wheel, right?
Correct.
Wouldn't that work as well?
Absolutely.
So you can that would be a high speed nut buffer. That would be sure.
That's something we've never had.
Talk about smiling. You know, we never leave high school in the show.
No. No.
So sorry.
Because we like the gym shorts. That's why.
I apologize beforehand.
Yeah, I know. So anyway, one of the things I went back yesterday.
Keeps going.
That was Thanksgiving. Well, that was Thursday. I did something Friday, although I can't remember what the heck it was. Yesterday was Saturday. I went back. I was there yesterday, and I wanted to all that schmutz that was in the console area that had.
Oh, right.
The sugar had let go, and, you know, I needed to, I was going to use the steamer on that.
Yeah, you said that was the plan.
I did use the steamer. Yeah, I also used some chemical. I used some Lucas stuff that worked very well, worked better than the steamer, actually. I brought my vacuum with the tapered end so I could get in there. I'm going to post pictures of that. Stay tuned on social media because you'll see it looks a brand new now. I mean,
really?
It was all like a matter of using a cloth with your fingers because you had to go under the parking brake cables, around the shifter. Everything was in a place that was hard to get at.
Yeah, that's what I thought you were probably going to do, like a little WD-40 or something like that.
Yeah.
You get in there just to soften it up and use an old rag that you plan on throwing away.
It worked. Okay. And gloves. You know, and it paid off. It worked out very well. Oh, yeah, goop.
Yes, the internet know-it-all is on fire today. He's showing us some of that gel goopy. It's kind of like slime. Remember the old? Not when we were kids, but kids now use slime where it's kind of all goopy and slimy, and they use. some of that where you can hold it in your hand and push it in things like air conditioner vents, and it picks up all the. Yeah, takes the it, and it's very effective.
So,
I've used some of my daughter's. My daughter likes to collect little jars of slime every once in a while, and wrap around things. I've taken it, going, "Hey, can I use this?" It never comes back. Comes back a different color.
Sure. No, I did good luck, and that's all cleaned. And of course, then I did put my newly reconditioned console back on top of that to never be seen again.
Right, because nobody's going to see this.
This guy knows it.
Yes,
this guy knows. Because I was pulling the car, I was pulling the map back, getting there was stuff everywhere. This guy was just the worst.
Oh, I believe it. But can someone explain that whole mindset to me? Nobody is going to see that. Only you know it's there. Only you. And no, you're never going to have that console back apart again. And even if you do, you're not going to care at that moment because you're probably putting in a component or trying to repair something. You're never going to care. It's probably going to completely leave your mind.
Actually, I think you're wrong.
Why?
I will forget about it, I will have the console, because the console is kind of nice. The side, it's a two-piece affair. You have the sides with a base, and then the top plate comes off.
Okay.
So you can access. So like when I run my satellite radio wires and all, you want to run them through there, you can just pull the top plate off. And next time I do that, be it in a month or a year, I'm going to look in there and I'm going to smile. So I'm going to say, "Ha, it's clean now, you mother dumper." if I took that plate off and looked in there again and saw that crap in there, I would knife myself in the throat. I really would. With a rusty screwdriver. I would. I would just.
But that to me is confounding. I don't understand. I mean, I do it too. Don't get me wrong. I'm there with you. I totally get it. I have to make sure that's clean. But it's like when you have people that get in your car and they don't know. They don't know unless it's 95 degrees and the car smells like old bagels. They're not going to know.
No one
would know but you. And that to me, it's like almost like you don't want to find it. Like you don't want to take the console off.
No. That's not what I wanted to find at all, believe me.
No, I mean, if you didn't have to remove the console to clean the car, you would have never known. It would have been there. You would have never known. Would have been the other. And I totally understand. I totally get it. It's like I was in the back of the police truck when I bought it.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't know what the truck was used for. I had no clue what responsibility basically the truck had. So when I pulled the rear section, the inside, opened the hatch and accessed the spare tire, I opened it up and there was, I would say, about 6 to 8 pounds of dog hair back there. So I'm like, oh, now I know what this was used for.
Canine.
It's a canine unit. Got it. There was a pooch back here. So we, Lysoled everything.
Right.
And I had actually the next clue was I couldn't find there was like a hatch door on the side of an access door that you would keep things in, whatever. Little, it's like almost like a live glove compartment on the side, right under the rear window, inside the truck. And that door itself, this plastic door, was missing. And I'm like, okay, it's missing, no big deal. Oh no, I found it. It was under the spare tire, and it had teeth marks in it. It was bent. It was bent, and it had all these gnawed teeth marks. And I'm like, oh, this was definitely a canine truck. So
yeah,
so didn't go on any high speed pursuits, I guess, unless there were dog bones involved.
The dog was bored.
Yes, I'm sure. I'm sure the dog was. That's for sure.
I'll tell you what else. Who else isn't bored? We're gonna at the bottom of the hour. We're gonna take our mandatory break, and we need to know, Chris, if we have a honor group of the hour.
Of course we do, Ray. This is Motor Mouth Radio. Wouldn't be this show without it. And the Motor Mouth Radio honor group of the hour this week. If you got chased out of the house and ended up in the garage during this long Thanksgiving weekend, did your family get tired of you picking at the turkey or sticking your finger in the pumpkin pie and threw you out? Did your family get tired of hearing you snore on the sofa and threw you out? Did your evil plan of ending up in the garage this long Thanksgiving weekend actually work? Well, if it did, you're part of the Motor Mouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. Give yourself a big hand because you got yourself out of a jam.
Nice.
There you go.
Very good. All right. So with that, let's see what our good friend Steve K. has to say about Revelations. And We'll be back in a few short minutes on 90.3 WHPC Motor Mouth Radio. Keep it where you got it.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday afternoon at 5 for 2 hours of Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities, an occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday afternoon at 5. On Revelations, right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Three Little Pigs, Green Jelly, The Rock Overdose, 90.3 WHPC. That was requested by one of the DJs who's been here for such a long time, Ray Guarino, who does Motormouth Radio on Sundays 12 to 1 on 90.3 WHPC. Definitely got to check it out. Ray and Joe, really good friends of mine now. We did a remote recently. You know, I'm not a big car guy, but they definitely are. So if you're big into mechanics and stuff, then definitely give them a listen, because I know Ray and Joe, they definitely know what they're talking about. I wish I knew what they were talking about, but you know what? I might as well just keep hanging out with them. That way I learn a little more. 90.3 WHPC.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Lynbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop you want to have your car fixed at. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. And yes, se habla español. More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.
All right, we're back. Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show, with your hosts, Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer. We're having fun and frolicking, and give us a call at 516-256-9510. Yes, Glenn, that means you. And we're expecting a call from Ed Muro today. I don't know if he's going to make it. I'll drop it quick. There's a cruise-through holiday toy drive next weekend at John Burns Park in Massapequa from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Saturday, December 5th, where you can donate a new unwrapped toy to bring a smile to a child this holiday season. It will be, I guess they're going to have Santa there, bring letters for Santa and all that stuff. And, you know, these guys, these are the guys who do the Town of Oyster Bay show at Tobey Beach. They're great friends of ours, and they do a lot of good stuff. So we hope they have a great event. So hopefully Ed will call and be able to talk about it. But if not, you can call and talk about it.
That's right. 516-256-9510 is the phone number to get a hold of us here at Motormouth Radio, because as you noticed, we are talking to ourselves today.
Yeah. I found an interesting piece this week in the paper, Chris. It ends up that Radio Shack, you know, that brand where we all bought our resistors and transistors. And
yes, the one chain store chain that I miss greatly, yes.
Well, they may be coming back.
What?
Yeah, but it'll be online this time, not brick and mortar.
Okay.
And the thing I liked about Radio Shack was going in and just rooting around, because you always find stuff that you know you need that you didn't think you needed.
Yes.
You know, especially like I look through switches and little components and stuff, and you say, hey, that's cool. It sparks an idea for a project.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
Very true.
They're going to. The big question, though, is now that the company that owns it owns a few other brands. They bought a few other names.
You mean it's not a Tandy company anymore?
They didn't say, so I guess not. But this company owns a few other names, and they may revive them as well through time. The ones they felt had traction, and Radio Shack was certainly one.
Sure.
The biggest question they're pondering is this. How much value does that brand name have when the target audience of young consumers may not have ever owned a radio? So, ooh, therefore, Radio Shack is kind of redundant to them.
Ooh.
Right?
Because no kids listen to this program.
No. And it is a fact that Radio Shack filed for Chapter 11 in 2015 right. and 17. Right. And there was one right by my house that's gone, so...
Right. No kids listen to radio, and certainly no kids listen to this program. Yes. No, you're right. You're right. Hey, we're all going to be talking like this.
Right. Yeah.
Our listeners will be like, hello, speak up.
I know.
Yeah, it's going to be we're on our way. We're on that conveyor belt right down to the furnace.
Oh, yeah.
It's depressing. But yeah, you're absolutely right. What would you change the name to? What would it be? What would you change it?
MP3 Shack? I don't know.
Yeah, right. Wi-Fi Shack? What would you change it to? Podcast Shack?
Yeah, Electronic Shack. But that's the thing. Yeah. You know, there's been other places even around here, like where I live, that sold electronics and stuff like this, and they, you know. They went out of business too. A lot of them did.
Yeah, I really didn't know it all. Digital Shack.
There was a company called DigiKey that I buy stuff from them at work. Nice catalog. I mean, DigiKey is considered one of the better places to buy electronics from because you can get really good components. You know, not just crap. You can get really good stuff, and we use that on many projects. So there's, you know, but again, it's, you got to order it. It's online. I mean, yeah, the stuff comes fast, but still, like I said, there was like going to the auto parts store and looking through the help board. You can usually find something in there that, hey, you know, I need that for when, you know, for the next time. That's
what you'll be going to the help store. Once the temperature goes down to about 0 degrees, when you go to reach the door handle on that Toyota, it's going to snap off in your hand. You'll be going down to the help store because that's usually what happens to every Toyota that's got over 100,000 miles. You wait a minute, you wait, cold weather, and psh, the handle comes right up in your hand.
Big honking door handles that are plastic, and they're shared by the Tacoma and the Tundra. Mm-hmm. So they're available.
It's that Toyota plastic thing. I don't know what it is. Because usually after about 150,000 miles, you watch that the window switches break right off in your hand on the inside. You go to hit the power window switch, you got the button in your, the inside handle will break off. It's the plastic degrades around that point in time. So
the good thing that I found about this truck in particular is it's really, really easy to work on. I mean, easy to take apart. Like, I've taken the door panel off a few times, the console, and there's all sorts of clips and things. Not one is broken. Every GM car I work on, even if you're using the tools, boom, stuff cracks.
Oh, totally. Yeah, if you get a plastic trim panel off with all the clips intact, it's a lucky day for you. I agree.
Right.
I agree. I've been using the melting plastic and using my favorite glue for something like that. It actually comes in a red tube. It's called shoe goo.
Oh, I have some of that. Yeah.
Shoe goo is the bomb.
Not easy to find.
No, it's not.
No.
Found in Walmart.
Yeah.
But it really isn't. It's not easy to find. I always have a tube of shoe goo.
Good stuff.
Yes, ready. And it has a lot of stuff I fixed on that was broken on that 93 LeBaron that I have. I use that stuff on. So it works very well for clips and things like that. So I totally dig it. Very cool.
In fact, now you mentioned door handles, one of the things I saw this on one of the videos I watched, guys were doing like the blackout treatment to the FJ.
Sure.
And you know, my truck, it's black, white over black, but it has silver door handles and silver bumperettes, and you know, it's got some silver accents.
Sure.
So I said, maybe the black door handles may be cool. That's how I found out that it's shared by the Tacoma. Because if you go through Toyota, they get like it's like the better part of $300 for a set of door handles, and they're plastic. Wow. And then a guy showed her on the internet, like, no, just go to a wrecking yard or even through Toyota, you buy the Tacoma ones, and they're like $40 and they're black.
Yes, so, but you also have to remember the door has to be, if you go to a junkyard, junkyard's not going to sell you just a handle on the door. And this is one of those tricky junkyard snafus. You can't just buy the handle unless the door is wrecked.
Okay.
Then they'll sell you the handle. But if you want this handle off this very good door, they go, no, you got to buy the whole door.
That makes sense because it's a removable part, but it is a part of the door. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. If you find a salvage yard that's able to part a door handle off a good door, keep those guys in your speed dial because you'll be using them a lot there because that's a good junkyard for guys like us. So I totally understand. Yeah. But yeah, I had to do that to when I went down to the salvage. I went up to the salvage yard in Rhode Island, and I had to buy the whole console in order to get the clock out of it.
Yeah,
he says I can't sell you the console. I can't sell you the clock without selling you the whole console. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
So And that was one. Actually, that was one of the clocks. It was a wise purchase because that was one of the clocks that had components on it that weren't burned out.
Oh, good.
So it had the armature or whatever that thing is that's got the windings on it, was not burned out. Mm-hmm. So I was able to send that clock in with the other clock that had a mechanical issue, and that's how I got my two clocks back.
What was the turnaround time on that repair for that clock?
Not long at all. It was about a week. It literally was. It was very, very cool place called the Clockworks. It's in Wisconsin. Very nice. Well done.
You think we can get that guy in the show?
I can make a phone call.
Yeah, pitch him.
Sure. Why not? Sure, yeah. I can make a phone call.
Yeah, I like, because we always like to tell people about people and places that have businesses that work, that actually do what they're supposed to do at a reasonable price and don't hang you up. So, yeah.
And it was also good in a way that you it's nice when you have a certain amount of knowledge and, like we always say, enough knowledge to be dangerous, because I was able to open the case of the clock and just look at what I was dealing with to make sure that puts it up on the site to see what
Mustang
physically is wrong. Yeah, 70 Mustang. Yeah. To see what physically is wrong. And he actually explained it to me on a phone. He says, as long as the windings are good, then we can use those. But if the windings are bad, it was obviously going to cost extra.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I have two clocks. One, the windings are good. Why? Because I took the case apart and I looked and they weren't burned. But the other one was. The windings were burned. But it had a mechanical issue on the one where the windings were good. One of the clock springs was off the shaft. The shaft wasn't on there correctly, and it just didn't work very well. So let's go to the phone. Speaking of not working very well, and let's go to the fun. We're going to say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, Ray, Chris, it's Glenn.
Hey, Glenn.
Hey, Glenn, what's up?
I just got the Blue Wall TV off my hands. I'm trying to fix this leak.
What?
What's leaking now, Glenn?
You know what, old stuff.
What's?
And I have a water leak into the cabin of the car in the Suburban, and the carpet saturated wet. Anyway, I'm gonna hopefully get a fair amount of sun in my blower in here to dry it all out. I think I stopped the leak finally.
Well,
so you were mentioning how things get old and crack. I'm assuming it's where the panels are joined together under the cowl. Probably between the firewall and maybe where they turned down.
Yeah.
Behind where the door hinges are.
Glenn, is it just water or is it antifreeze?
Not antifreeze.
Oh,
no.
Okay, good. Because I was going to say it's your heater cord at that point. If it's water.
I thought maybe. But
do you park this vehicle under a tree?
No, that might be beneficial.
Right.
No, anyway, I said, just as you talk about, I got all my panels off. I snapped a few clips.
Uh-huh. Not a Toyota.
Now, I have to, I'm going to prop up whatever to get, as much space between all the carpet and the underlayment and dry it all up by hand.
Right.
I don't think much will happen with a shop vac, and then just put a blower motor on it, let it run the rest of the day.
Sure.
Right. Hair dryers.
I got to tell you, Glenn, since we put the picture up of your car, there's been a lot of likes and all. People, especially on Facebook, have definitely liked what they see.
Pretty car, too, yeah.
And I'll tell you this.
Pretty Camaro.
Well, I'll tell you this, too. The more I look at it, the more I like those wheels on the car. I really do.
They are nice. Yeah, I'm not a fan of aftermarket wheels, but those are pretty cool. They're the gray multi-spoke.
Yeah, I know. I haven't been doing car stuff much, and I said, I gotta get back into this, and I said, I gotta give you guys a call and talk to you. Whatever. I just says, well, you talk about date coding on tires. I think the tires I took off this car were probably the ones when you took pictures of my car when it came out of the body shop all them years back. So,
yeah. Wow. That's in the 90s.
Hey, as long as.
Mid-90s.
Has the car been, Glenn, has the car been garaged at all since that time? Or you left
most
it
of the time, yes.
Yeah, so the tires, as long as they're not cracked or anything, as long as you kept them out of the sun and out of the weather, 9 out of 10 times. As long as the tread's good.
I'm going to store them either way, but the real ones, basically, they're doing short burnouts, whatever. They're done. They're down to threads. But
that sounds like some of my friends.
Whatever. It was time for new tires, and that's the route I went. I'll have to start checking out more, get back on the website. I've been just busy and like all over the place. I said, I got to get back into my car stuff. So here I am.
There you go.
Cool.
Well, that's the thing, you know, life happens, but we tend to always weave in and out of those hobbies and things, and it's always there.
Yes, very true.
Yep.
So, but yeah, that leak is, you probably got a pound of dirt and leaves and stuff in the cowl, and it's overflowing.
No, not much.
No? Okay.
I pulled off the windshield wipers, I pulled the cowl assembly out, I pulled all of the interior portions right where my feet are.
Right.
I'm in the car now. It's got a nice Bluetooth. Yeah. And then my wife came out to help water test, and I got my headlamp on, and I started looking again for leaks. And I said, well, I don't see it now.
Right.
Fingers crossed that's it.
Well, it's supposed to get rain tomorrow, so you
right.
know.
So she chased you around the front lawn with the hose, right? She just chased you around. She figured, all right,
that'd be great. Tomorrow.
Hit the husband with the hose. I got it.
Yeah, so I got to put all this back together. I'm going to do that as the day progresses. And, I didn't get wet, by the way. You don't want to get wet.
You run fast.
She had her boots on and all. Totally helped out.
It's funny, you know, you tell me about this roof, this leak, and one of the videos I've been watching a lot of is a lot of guys reporting that their FJ has a leak right at the top over the door windows, and they all think it's from places it's not. They unequivocally confirmed it's where the roof rack mounts to the roof. There's a channel in there. They put a filler panel in, and there's a seam, and the guys have gotten really good close-up video of it to show that the seam sealer has dried out and split, and I think not everyone does it. Like, you know, mine so far isn't. I think maybe if a guy takes that thing off-road and does a lot of that, you know, moving to the body kind of stuff, that may exacerbate that. And I don't think that's, you know, I don't think that's your case. Well, like, because going to Stop and Shop isn't bad.
No, we're all around town, whatever, and it's a highway car with 70,000 miles on it and never been in an accident. So I say, why is this leaking?
Right.
It's probably the elements, like you mentioned, the seam seal is cracked.
Right.
And, you know, I'll try to get some pictures and shoot them over to you, Ray. You can see, like, there's evidence is rot in here, or not rot, but trace elements of rust, and you would never know. And all of a sudden, I'm like, why is the carpet wet? When I say wet, saturated.
Yeah.
It was time to really fix this problem.
Right.
But, most likely the seam seal failed on it, so... Yeah. Yeah, let me get back to doing this. I just want to say what's up, and I'll keep in touch.
Okay, Glenn. Thanks for the call.
Good luck. Talk to you soon.
Thanks. So long.
All right. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
516-256-9510. Still got a little bit of time for one more call, as I see. But yeah, I've always found that the weather, when you leave a car out in the weather that you know has a leak, I don't know why this works this way, but when it's a torrential downpour, the car never leaks or rarely leaks. But when it's just misting, you ever notice when it's just that little tiny spray in the air, that aerosol-like spray in the air, you'll find a lake in the car. I don't know why this happens. You're going to find, like Glenn says, the carpet will be saturated.
You know, I had a leak.
Figure out the balance.
I had a leak years ago that was ridiculous. It was my 65 Chevy wagon, and it had a windshield leak. But what would happen is it would rain for a while, and it wouldn't leak. And then all of a sudden, it would start to leak, and it would drip down, hit the horn ring of the steering wheel, and bounce right onto my chest or into my lap. And it would just plop, plop, plop. I'm like, Chinese water torture.
Wow. Holy smokes. I'm chasing a leak in the truck, and I do know the reason why. Because, of course, the truck had hardware on the roof. And, of course, when they pull the hardware, there's obviously holes where they drilled for the bolts.
Yeah.
And they just half-heartedly put in sealant, adhesive, silicone, whatever it was. So I just have to find wherever that leak is, because every once in a while, that same compartment on the side of the hatch area, when you open it up, you get a little bit, it's a little wet. just a little bit. There's something in there. The water is traveling down around the window. And it's not ruining my life or anything like that. It's not like it's bouncing off my shirt like your leak is. But it's one of those things I'm going to have to eventually address. But I just wanted to get back one second to Radio Shack. There was one thing that I really miss about Radio Shack is what they sell. And those were those wheat bulbs. Remember those? Yeah. Those small little wheat bulbs? Well, I know, just like you, when we talk about things that you only notice, whenever you're driving, I like to make sure that at night, every one of my lights on the dash are working. I love that. I love when everything is working. So I purchased a radio with a CD player for my Chrysler, for the little Chrysler, and it's half the lights, the display lights at night aren't working. Like the bulbs are burned out. So I'm thinking, the first thing I thought of was Radio Shack. Oh, got to go to Radio Shack and pick up. Oh, you can't do that. Right. Radio Shack's no longer there. So I do have another radio that doesn't work. Obviously, the one I've replaced, I'm going to have to dissect that, pull the bulbs out of there, because that radio is no good at all, pull those bulbs out and swap them out with the other bad bulbs in the good radio. So this is going to be one of those winter projects that I'm probably going to completely dismantle my bench over there.
Right.
My tool bench with all kinds of small little radio components, because that's a job in itself, because they don't just pop out. You got to solder them off the board.
Yeah.
So that's one of those things. So that's
there you go.
Pet peeve of not having Radio Shack at my disposal.
Yeah. No, that's very true, you know, and I didn't go there quite a lot, but it was kind of like like insurance knowing it was there. Like
if
I need something to pinch, I could go there.
Yeah, that's usually why you need Radio Shack, because you run into it. You don't just walk into Radio Shack. You dash in because you need something in a pinch. So I need a resistor.
Yeah.
I need a diode. So
we need more time. We're at the end of this show, but we're at the end of the month. We burned another month. I mean,
oh my gosh.
Last month of the year, next week, and oh boy, is time flying while we're having fun, huh?
Yes, we're into the holiday season up to our lower lip.
Absolutely.
Very true, very true. So it's going to be the next fun couple of weeks. Talk about gifts to give your car guy, I'm sure.
Sure.
We'll talk about gifts we've gotten.
Yeah.
Talk about how to work in the cold weather.
Right.
I'm going to have to bring out the hibachi and heat up my tools again.
There you go. All right, well, what's that?
Gets it. It's 10 degrees, and you grab a hold of a cold wrench. It's never cold. Yes.
So with that, we should get out of here because Kim is waiting to come in. We got a spot to play, and we will be back next week. Mm-hmm. So for Chris Witzer, Ray Guarino saying, see you then. And Chris, what do you always say as we leave this fine show?
I always say, don't follow us home and take the turkey.
Right.
See you.
See you next week. Bye.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Lynbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop you want to have your car fixed at. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. And yes, se habla español. More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.